Today's scripture reading will be from the book of Philippians, chapter 2, verses 1 to 13. Is there any encouragement from belonging to Christ? Any comfort from his love? Any fellowship together in the Spirit? Are your hearts tender and compassionate? Then make me truly happy by agreeing wholeheartedly with each other, loving one another, and working together with one mind and purpose. Don't be selfish. Don't try to impress others. Be humble, thinking of others as better than yourselves. Don't look out for only your own interests, but take an interest in others too. You must have the same attitude that Christ Jesus had. Though he was God, he did not think of equality with God as something to cling to. Instead, he gave up his divine privileges. He took the humble position of a slave and was born as a human being. When he appeared in human form, he humbled himself in obedience to God and died a criminal's death on the cross. Therefore, God elevated him to a place of the highest honor and gave him the name above all other names, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue declare that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Dear friends, you always followed my instructions when I was with you, and now that I am away, it is even more important. Work hard to show the results of your salvation, obeying God with deep reverence and fear, for God is working in you, giving you the desire and the power to do what pleases him.
Thank you, Bridget. Please pray with me. God above, below, and within, thank you for today and the many blessings that we have. Today we pray for a humble heart and a spirit of justice. May these meditations of my heart be pleasing to you and inspire us today. Amen. So I've been thinking a lot about spiritual wellness. And that is in part because a few weeks ago I went on a retreat sponsored by the Hawaii Association and the UCC, and I met a lot of incredible pastors and ministers, both within and outside of the UCC. And the theme for this retreat was Psalm 42, verses 1 through 2a, that reads, "As a deer longs for flowing streams, so my soul longs for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God." And we had workshops that were on different types of wellness, and we learned how that we can better support ourselves in that journey. One of the first workshops was spiritual wellness. A young woman spoke to us and asked us to envision our cup. It is the cup that holds the water of life, and we each have our own cup, right? This is the cup that holds the divine presence, our energy, that sort of thing. And most people focused on, you know, what the level of water was inside of their cup, yeah? But when I was asked to envision my cup, I'm creative and I have to do something different because it's just what I have to do. So when I imagined my cup, I wasn't in the best place at that time. So my cup that I envisioned was, you know, those little paper cups, little Dixie cups that hold like 3 ounces of water. So that, and now imagine there's a bunch of holes poked in it. The good news was that that cup was full, all 3 ounces of it, but it was actively leaking. I'm in a much better place now. But it was a really great exercise, and it really is a great visualization, and it's a great opportunity to check in, to see where am I at, where are we at? So I want to invite you all to do that now as well. Some of you might already be thinking, like, oh, what is my... So think about, what does your cup look like? How big is your cup? Is it like a big gulp from 7-Eleven? Are you like so, have much capacity for life? Or are you a little Dixie cup like I was a little while back? And then from that cup, how full is it? Because you could have a big gulp cup ready to go and then have a centimeter of water at the bottom, right? So think about that for a moment. Where are you? What is your cup? What does it look like? How much water is in your cup? Is it full? Is it half full? Is it half empty? Is it dry? Imagine. Check in. It says a lot about how we see our own wellness when we put it into a cup. And for many of us, this imagery is powerful because it's a common metaphor that we use and that we see in scripture. But it's also powerful for a lot of us because many of us have jobs or passion projects where we are serving other people, where we are filling other people's cups. And a lot of times for those of us in those professions or those of us that do projects like that, we don't realize when our own cup is empty. And it's hard to fill someone else's cup when yours has nothing. Crossroads is a church that has a long and deep history with justice and service-related events. Whether it was providing resources for those escaping from fires or war way, way back in the day, or if it was this church's own journey to become an open and affirming church back in 1992, or even purely the formation of this church, where some young adults said that they would face the prejudice of their own cultural contexts in order to worship together, in order to have their community that best for them represents what Jesus' ministry looks like, right? These foundational values of justice and forming our lives to be in service of others is a huge piece of identity for this church. And it's definitely a reason I've heard a lot of people tell me why they come to this church, right? And it's definitely a part of my own decision to be a part of this church and join the staff here. I could see how important justice was to this community and how invested so many people are in being either a part of the work or supporting those that are in the work. Pride Month is one of those months, or one of those seasons, I should say, where this church is particularly passionate. Not only because we have so many members of our community who are queer, but because we see the deeper issues at hand when there are debates about the queer community. So, as people who value justice and learn about the deeper love of Christ and God through scripture and stories and relationships with people, we know that God's love doesn't have conditions. And God doesn't condemn people for being true to themselves. In Galatians chapter 3, verse 28, there is no longer Jew or Gentile, slave or free, male and female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. Through Christ, we are made equal. Through the example of Jesus, we are shown unconditional love and acceptance. How great is our God that we are loved always and given the chance to try and to change and to grow. As people who seek to follow the path of love and equity in the world, we are challenged to do so with a humble heart. And if as I say that, you're thinking, well, I have a humble heart, so I'm doing pretty good. You might want to rethink the definition of humble. The scripture for today says, therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and of one mind. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourself, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of the others. This is what we are asked to do. But it is not easy. There are some people out there that make it so easy to be angry, to dig in our feet and to say, I'm right and you're wrong. Feels kind of good sometimes. But we are not asked to be right. God does not call us to be right. God doesn't bestow upon us the power of seeing all the good and making the correct choices. We mess up sometimes. And sometimes we get too caught up in all of it, in all the arguing and all of the I'm right, you're wrong. And it's really, really hard, especially when we are angry. There's this great article written by Richard Rohr. Some of you may be familiar with Richard Rohr. For those of you that may not be, he's an American Franciscan priest, and he's a writer on spirituality. He's very well known for his advocacy and the many theological books that he's written. I highly recommend looking into him if you have not. He's also the founder for the Center of Action and Contemplation. So this article that I'm talking about is called The Activist's Guide to Contemplation. It was written in 2016. And in this article, he talks about how Jesus shows us the transformation of self is just as important as, lost my place, just as important as the actions that we take. Because there are so many activists out there that, quote, have the answer, but they are not themselves the answer, end quote. If we are not being transformed by the knowledge we gain or the work that we do, then we are at risk of perpetuating the very issues that we are trying to fight. He writes, liberal activists can't let go of their own need for change and control and cannot stand still in a patient, humble way as people of deep faith often can. It is no surprise that Jesus prayed not just for fruit, but for fruit that will last, referencing John 15, 16. Conservatives, on the other hand, idolize anything that lasts, but stop asking the question, is this actually bearing fruit? End quote. There's one more quote that I really, really, really want you guys to hear, so open your ears. The need to be in power, to have control, to say someone else is wrong, is not enlightenment. I'm gonna say that one more time. The need to be in power, to have control, to say someone else is wrong, is not enlightenment. When Pride Month rolls around, I find myself getting caught up in thinking people are wrong. Because I know in my heart and in my faith that queer people are not inherently sinful. Being queer is not a sin. Anti-queerness is not supported in our scriptures, and it is not supported by scientific studies that have looked at the well-being of queer people in safe and unsafe environments. The danger that most queer folks face is not the danger of their queerness, it is the hate of those that do not accept them. When we enter activist spaces, it is easy to get lost in the battle of being right and having the most power and affecting the most change. And these aspects are vital for effective activism, but they are not the heart of why we are here in the first place. When we have a humble heart, we are able to hold onto each other's humanity. We see the pain and the hurt from all sides. Everyone we meet has their own story, their own life experiences that have brought them to this moment. With a humble heart, we are able to see those stories, those people, those children of God who are also just trying to make sense of the world. That isn't to say that all thoughts and things shouted are worth listening to. Anyone who has been around a toddler will know that fact. But underneath every shout or scream or deafening silence, there is a deeper need that is not being met. For some, it's fear. For some, it's the inability to accept themselves. For some, it's jealousy or anger. For others, it's simply wanting to be understood. As people who value justice, it is important that the justice we seek isn't at the cost of someone else. I say this to you who are activists. These words are for you. These words are not for those that are being harmed by the isms of the world, racism, sexism, ableism, etc. If you are someone who is the target of hate or harm, you don't have to listen. Know how much water is in your cup before you engage. if you choose to. If you have the water, maybe you do engage. But if you don't, protect yourself. The rest of us will support you. To be humble in these moments is hard. To be humble when we feel we are right is hard. I want to invite you all today to practice. To practice feeling a humble heart. To check in with yourself and identify when you are feeling overwhelmed or in need of filling your cup. To know when you are ready to be transformed. Our ancestors of this church have shown us what justice looks like to them, but they have also shown us that with humble hearts, we open ourselves to diverse possibilities. With humble hearts, we see each other more clearly. We see God working in ourselves and also in those that we think are wrong. There's an incredible activist named Grace Lee Boggs, who is a Chinese American living in Detroit. She was an author, social activist, philosopher, feminist. She is known for her years of political collaboration with C.L.R. James and Raya Dunayevskaya. Hopefully that's pronounced correctly. Most of her work was in the 1940s and 50s. In her book, The Next American Revolution, she says, each of us needs to undergo a tremendous philosophical and spiritual transformation. Each of us needs to be awakened to a personal and compassionate recognition of the inseparable interconnection between our minds, our hearts, and our bodies, between our physical and psychological well-being, and between ourselves and other selves in our country and in our world. What we learn through Christ and through God and through the Spirit is that we are all children of God. We are all worthy of love. So when we read this verse from Philippians, we are asked to have a humble, and we are asked to have a humble heart. It is not an opportunity to check a box and go, yep, got it, done. It is an opportunity for self-reflection. Where have we placed ourselves into victimhood that is not ours? Where have we closed our ears to those that are shouting? Who have we not invited to our table? Jesus gathered with many at his table, including the people that we said are wrong. He included the people who have been the most hurt and the people that have done the most hurt. Jesus saw them with a humble heart and saw their humanity. And we are asked to do the same. Before I finish, I want to offer you all one more tool for you to use. We tend to spend a lot of time in our headspace. We think a lot. I'm also guilty of this. We think a lot about our work and our feelings, but unfortunately, we can only think our way out of our feelings for so long. At least that's what my therapist tells me. So today, I invite you to enter your heart space. On the communion table, we take a look. There are shells, my little jar of shells. Some of you might remember another time that I did this, but this jar of shells was given to me at my ordination by my friend Robbie. He, in his spiritual journey, walks the beach every morning and collects shells on the coast of California. And so for my ordination, he gave me this beautiful jar of only a portion of his collection. On the table, you will also see paper cranes. These paper cranes are extra special because these have been folded by some of our youth and keiki. Some are here, some are in worship and Sunday school. These are here for you today to be a part of your prayers, to be a part of your meditations. After this sermon is finished, you are invited to come forward to the table, grab a shell or a crane. For those of you that are online, you're also welcome to find your own little memento to hold, whether it's a paper crane or a shell or a rock or something small to hold. Feel free to grab that during this time. Come forward, grab one of these things. Take a moment of prayer, of meditation, of silence, and ponder, feel a humble heart. Practice a humble heart. You're invited to come to the table. Oh, I said those instructions already. Great, I'm ahead of the game. When you finish, more instructions. When you finish your prayer or meditation or moment of silence, please place your shell or crane back onto the table and make your way back to your seat. At this time, may we feel God's presence as we gather in this moment today. Amen.